1323.
I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager.
A youth perspective on national current affairs. Centrelink breaches and fines are currently under criticism from the federal opposition. Today we look at how young people's lives are affected by this system.
My attitude towards Centrelink, how many hours do you have?
Today's story, following this week's headlines.
Youth groups from across the country met this week in the hope of replacing the Australian Youth Policy and Action Coalition, which was defunded in 1998. The National Union of Students, National Youth Housing Coalition, and peak state and territory groups gathered in Melbourne to discuss forming an official structure to provide Australia with wide representation for youth issues, and to attract government and corporate sector funding for youth initiatives.
The Northern Territory Government has called on the Commonwealth to provide more funding for Indigenous education. Chief Minister Dennis Burke has stated that the federal government needs to allocate finances to implement the recommendations of the Collins Report on Indigenous Education, rather than leaving the responsibility in the hands of territory and state governments.
Former Amnesty International Chairman Ross Daniels believes that the Olympics are a good opportunity to protest issues such as mandatory sentencing. Mr. Daniels made the comments in Cairns, speaking at Peace Week celebrations. He also stated that Indigenous Australians have every right to protest during the Games.
The New South Wales government is currently holding an online discussion about young people's representation in the media. To be involved, log in to www.youth.newsouthwales.gov.au and follow the prompts.
Finally, the World Forum 2000 will be held in early August in Sydney and is titled Children First in the New Millennium, a new commitment to children and young people. Youth participants are currently being sought in many areas, including reporting, performing, or being a delegate. There will also be a creative arts exhibit for artists to submit and sell their work. For more information, call 02-9635-8833. That number again is 02-9635-8833.
The ABC have obtained a contract between the Employment Department and Centrelink, showing that the agency is to ensure that no more than 15% of breaches are overturned on appeal. The ways in which Centrelink fines and breaches affect young people has often been criticised by youth organisations. Phil O'Donoghue from the Welfare Rights Centre has serious concerns about the breach system.
We've seen a very massive expansion in the number of youth allowance recipients who are being breached as a result of activity tests, and in some cases failing to declare income. About half of all of the breaches or penalties that are imposed on Social Security recipients under this system are of youth allowance recipients, and those breaches can cost a young person in the household anywhere between about $280 and over $1,000. And so those breaches, particularly, and they mostly apply for young unemployed people, can be a very great hardship on low-income households. The concerns that agencies like my own, which work as welfare rights services, have is that often young people are not aware of their rights to have debts, breaches and penalties reviewed and appealed. We know that when people do actually seek a review of breach decisions, they have a fairly good success rate in getting those breaches overturned, anywhere between about 25% and nearly 50% of breach decisions are overturned upon review or appeal. And that suggests that some original decisions are being made are not particularly good. There are a lot of pitfalls in the system. The most common one for a breach is where people fail to declare earnings from employment. It's a common misunderstanding, particularly among young people, that while you're allowed to earn about $60 a week without it affecting your payments, people think that if they only earn that much, they don't have to declare it, and that's not true. In fact, Social Security recipients must declare all income. And in fact, even if you earn only $50 and you don't declare it, you can actually be breached for, you know, at a cost of about, you know, over $600 for failing to declare a part-time job that might have only earned you $100. And that is singularly the most common reason for a breach, is failing to declare earnings. And it is important for people to declare their earnings, even though, sadly, that does mean that they pay tax on that additional earnings and they can have their allowance reduced as well. When you've got a stick and you use it, people tend to respond. But it also has at a broad level the effect that people feel on Social Security that they've been closely monitored, that if they make a slight mistake, or if the bureaucrats make a mistake, they can be penalised, and sometimes unfairly.
Jenny Byrne, Assistant Secretary to the Office of Youth Affairs and Training, believes that the youth allowance payments must be accountable to the taxpaying public.
If a person doesn't have an entitlement to a payment, I mean, what they're receiving is your taxes. If a person is given that money through an error and they were not entitled to it, we have an obligation to all Australian taxpayers to collect that money back again. Now, I am very concerned about what I've heard about the large overpayments that have occurred in some places. And it's really important that young people report their changes in circumstances. It doesn't mean they're going to get thrown off the payment. It means that Centrelink will make sure that they know and understand what it is that they need to do to continue to be eligible for the payment.
We spoke to two people who have both experienced hardship from being breached by Centrelink.
Due to a Centrelink breach, Chris found himself unable to afford his studies.
Just being on Centrelink benefits and trying to pay off the debt and trying to study at the same time doesn't really work, because you need as much money as you can to study. I guess it was more of my silly fault but I don't know. When I've had other things to do and I've called them like half an hour after the appointment and they've said, oh, sorry, you've already been breached. I just had a lecture, but I had a meeting as well. It was when I first started uni, so I wasn't really sure of my timetable. And I missed the meeting, and then they breached my payment by 25%, which took it down a lot, and then had to quit studies because I couldn't afford to live on what they were giving me. And I think that, I don't know, that could be happening to a lot of people throughout Australia. I think communication's a big thing that's lacking in the whole Centrelink system, definitely. They don't seem to be very open to people's problems, I guess. Like, if they can't make a meeting twice in a row or something, I think they... maybe it's three times in a row. If you don't go to a certain meeting, they'll breach you. In those situations where I haven't been able to make meetings, they haven't seemed very open, or more so it seems like they haven't believed me that, you know, that is true. Like, I don't want to jeopardise my funds for studying by missing meetings on purpose, you know, so they should be a bit more open to that. That people do have their own lives and we're not running on Centrelink's time, if you know what I mean.
The $3,000 debt, have you paid it off yet?
Pretty much, yeah. But, yeah, it's almost gone.
How did that affect how much you got paid?
It was somewhere around $50 a fortnight. So then if you got breaches on top of that, you're seriously in trouble. I think, yeah, I went down from, like, 360 to 220 over 6 weeks or something, just from having to pay that back and then getting breached twice. Yeah, so it shows how quickly it can happen.
How did you find that your living standards during that time?
They were pretty grim. That's why I had to seriously look for work and quit my studies, just so that I could basically eat and pay my rent, which is a bit of a shame. Speaking of, like, students, I think they should definitely be looked after more than they are so now.
What effect does the debt and breach system, in a broader sense, do you think, have on not just individual young people, but young people as a group?
I don't know. I think it brings a certain control over everyone, I guess. It's like you know, if you're on these benefits, you have to live by their rules, you know, like you run on their time and not yours, which it should be.
Do you think there's a resentment among young people against that kind of control?
Definitely. And it's definitely a problem that needs to be addressed.
It's that time of the fortnight. I'm on my way to the DSS and I hope that it's true. Somewhere along I run into you. Your form looks fine. I'll hand in yours if you'll hand in mine. And the love that we share will be true love.
Because of previous negative experiences with Centrelink, Jim says he'd rather stay employed than pursue further education.
When I was doing a full-time course through TAFE, and I was also working part-time nights, which was pretty hectic, I can tell you. Basically what happened with that breach was I'd sent in my tax return at the end of the year to claim all the earnings I'd made because I was receiving a youth allowance as a payment for study and working part-time to get extra money. But I'd made a mistake, just an honest mistake. I thought I'd claimed all the proper amounts on my tax return, and I wasn't out by very much, but it was a, to them, I had lied to them. It was a breach of my conditions of payment, which I had no intention of doing, you know. As you can understand, in that state of mind, when you're working and also trying to study, it's easy to make mistakes when you've got so many figures in your head. When they had told me of my mistake and that I'd been penalised. So it was my first penalty, and the fine was a few hundred dollars. Maybe I ended up having to pay $400-something back, I think. And I did try to appeal that at the time because that was just another financial kick in the nuts that I couldn't handle, you know. I told the person who I had put through the breach that, look, I made this honest mistake, and I wrote her a letter and tried to explain, like, I'm really sorry about this. Look, I don't mind paying back the money that I've misclaimed, fair enough, but you know, if you can waive the fine, please. I mean, I can't afford it, and I wasn't trying to rip yous off. I was just made a bad mistake. And she said, no, I made the mistake, and I have to be penalised. And so that was the end of that. That was another few hundred dollars or so that I had to end up paying back.
How did that affect you at the time?
You know, it was just pretty crushing, you know. I had not much money at the time anyway, and I figured, well, this is another thing that's going to stop me from studying. Basically, that was like, I'm going to have to chuck this in now and just try to go back into the workforce. Now I am working full-time at a really crappy job that I don't enjoy doing, but at the end of the day, I need the money to keep things going. And that's my only focus in that respect. Ultimately, I mean, I have to get qualifications by studying or doing traineeships or whatever in order to get a job that might be more suited to you, that you might enjoy. But to go back to having to study and means you can't work full-time, means you would be working only part-time.
In what way do you think they could perhaps change that system of appeal to make it a little bit more fair?
I think it's beyond just the system of appeals. The whole processing of each person is just a part of the whole economic cycle, you know. It works. In that way, it's like it's faceless. Now, there's no connection between, I mean, a person's daily life and what goes on the database. I really don't have many ideas of how it could be done, rather than having them have extra staff and extra services provided for you to be able to work one-on-one with people, you know, which is draining on whatever their resources are. And I still don't even think that that's a good answer to the situation. I think basically the system as a whole is just a reflection of what's going on with the way we just kowtow to the whole economic system.
That's it for the show. Next week, drug education is once again on the agenda. We'll be looking at how to assist someone who has overdosed and speaking to Queensland Ambulance about one of their new initiatives.
Today you've heard music from Tayo, Shampoo and Small Fantasy. Contributions are welcome. You can write to PO Box 509, Fortitude Valley, 4006 Queensland, fax 07 3252 1950, phone 3252 1555. Email Heather at 4ZZZFM.org.au.
1323 is produced by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson at 4ZZZ. with financial assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Today you have heard music from Tayo, Shampoo and Small Fantasy. Contributions are welcome. You can write to P.O. Box 509, Fortitude Valley, 4006 Queensland, fax 07-3252 1950, phone 3252 1555. Email heather at 4zzzfm.org.au.
1323 is produced by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson at 4ZZZ. With financial assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.